Amen. Good morning. So a few things to begin with this morning before we get into the sermon. I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that our condolences and our sadness as a church family goes with the sudden and unexpected loss of one of our deaf of the congregation, Charles Schultz, who was unexpectedly taken by the Lord at a time we did not expect. And yet we rejoice because he's gone to be with the Lord, and we know his faith. And if you had any interactions with Charles, you knew him to be a very kind and gentle spirit, and one that put his faith very much in the Lord. So we want to certainly extend our sympathy to all of his friends and family as they mourn his loss at this time, and particularly as it has dramatically impacted the deaf congregation of this body of believers here. I also want to mention to you that we have a great offering of different opportunities for you to grow in your discipleship in our midweek growth gatherings that meet here on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And among those, we have a short class that is being taught and facilitated, a discussion with Steve Coleman. I meant to mention this last Sunday and I forgot it, but the first of those was last Wednesday. There are two more yet to go. He's facilitating a discussion on how to be influential in the workplace for your faith. And he's got some videos and some different resources that he's sharing in those discussions. And so I want to just make mention of that and plug that this morning and hopefully pique your interest. If you want to join a part of a class, that would be a good one. There are also two other offerings that are happening on Wednesdays as well. And we want to invite you to be a part of that in growing in your discipleship. But we do want to continue our discussion this morning in this series called King Jesus as we're exploring the gospel story from Matthew. I hope that you've got one of the bookmarks and you're reading along each week as we're reading together as a congregation through the gospel of Matthew and trying to examine the main thrust of what Matthew is exploring for us regarding who Jesus is and what he came to do and how that we should all bow before him as our king. So this morning we're going to be in chapters 11 and 12. If you want to be opening your Bibles to Matthew chapters 11 and 12, there's a lot of material there, but I want to distill it down this morning into the main point and I think a very practical application that we can draw from this text about how to live as people that are bowing before the King. So I invite you to open your Bibles this morning as we explore it together. Now I'm going to introduce it this morning with kind of a cold open that's going to seem completely unrelated to the text. So just let me open it this way, pique your interest, then we'll look at the text, and then we'll come back to the opening. And I think you'll see how it all pulls together. So it's going to require some increased concentration and focus on your part this morning as we do this. We live in an extremely polarized age. Would you agree? I mean, when you look and you look at the news today, the media, you look at politics, you look at race tension that happens in our country, even now, when we thought we had moved beyond that. I mean, there's just so much tension, there's so much polarization, there's so much division, arguing and bickering that happens in our culture today. But there seems to be at least one thing that everybody in our culture seems to have in common today. Everybody is exhausted. I mean, to just look at the way we're living our lives, we just are absolutely spent, most of us, with overcrowded, overscheduled, overcommitted lives. We're stressed to the limit. We're overwhelmed. We're running on fumes. We're at the edge of burnout. And many Americans today are living with constant, hurried spirits. You may not realize it, but I'm convinced of this. Exhaustion is the greatest thing that opposes and prevents King Jesus from reigning in your life. Now, you may not right now see the connection between being overwhelmed and exhausted and overcommitted and stressed out in your life, what the connection of that would be with bowing your life to King Jesus, but I assure you there is a direct connection. And in fact, many of us are living lives that are so filled to the brim that there's no room for Jesus on the throne of our lives. And that really is going to be the crux of where we're headed today in this lesson, because I'll tell you the truth, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And when you and I are so busy in our lives, what happens is we crowd King Jesus from ruling over us. Busyness can devour your values. Let's look at the text, and we'll circle back to that in just a moment. We saw in the last lesson in this series, back in chapter 10, that Jesus sends his 12 apostles out. He commissions them as the king to go out and announce in the towns and the villages the arrival of a new and a better king. King Jesus has arrived. Now, the claim that Jesus is the ultimate and the final king, well, that was slanderous to many folks. It was offensive to others, and to some it was even treasonous. And the result of the proclamation that Jesus is the true and the better king results in what we see here in chapters 11 and 12, and that is growing opposition to the king. Growing opposition to the king. We see the king being opposed by so many folks in these two chapters. Many folks are rejecting Jesus' ministry, and they find the idea that he is to be king of the world to be offensive. We see at least four different categories. I want to summarize them real quickly. We're just going to do a flyby of chapters 11 and 12. In the first place, we see that Jesus is questioned by a close friend. In verses 1 through 19, John, the forerunner of Jesus, the one that had announced the coming of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John is now in prison. And he, in his oppressive state in prison, begins to question Jesus' claims. And in verse number 6, Jesus says, blessed, I think speaking of John and others, blessed are those who are not, literally not scandalized or outraged to the point of rejection by me. You see, increasingly in our world today, just like back then, people are not just indifferent to Jesus, but more and more so in our culture, people are offended by the very idea of what Jesus claims to bring. And Jesus, though, shows in verses 4 and 5 that there are a group of people in culture that more and more are not offended by Jesus, but are receptive to him. And that is more so the poor and the marginalized of culture. Now, why is it that the poor and the marginalized are not so offended by Jesus? In a nutshell, it's because of this. If you and I feel rather self-sufficient and privileged in our lives, we have our lives filled to the brim with life and there's no room for Jesus. But it's those people that have gotten to the point of emptiness that are ready to receive the one who can truly fill them with purpose. But it is first the questioning of a friend that begins to call into question Jesus and an opposition to him. And then in verses 20 through 24, we see that there are people from the cities of Capernaum and Chorazin and Bethsaida that are entertained by the fact that Jesus has gone about in their cities and villages performing great miracles. They're entertained by him, but the miracles do not bring them to a point of repentance. And Jesus says to them, there's going to be more mercy for cities, wicked cities of the past, like Tyre and Sidon and even Sodom. There'll be more mercy for them than those that know about Jesus and reject him. You see, Jesus will forgive any sin, but it's only the rejection of his forgiveness that is unforgivable. You see, whenever we know who Jesus is and yet we refuse to change our lives, we refuse to alter the patterns of the way we live our life in response to the King, we show that we actually have rejected the King and we've refused to bow before him, because the realization of the miraculous things that he can do for us have not brought us to a change of priority and a change of lifestyle. And so these cities oppose Jesus. And then in chapter 12, verses 1 through 45, we see Jesus being opposed by the religious establishment. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, are strongly opposing Jesus because he's breaking their legalistic rules surrounding the Sabbath day. But you see, they fail to recognize that actually Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that he had given the Sabbath as a day of rest, and that the Sabbath was meant to be a means of blessing us. That the Sabbath was meant to be something given to humanity as a means of spiritual renewal, not as a burdensome regulation that the Pharisees had turned it into. The Sabbath was designed not to burden our hands, but as we see in verses 13 and 14, to heal our weary hands from their labor. But you see, Jesus is confronted by the religious establishment. And then finally, we see this opposition even by Jesus' own physical family. In verses 46 through 50, his own family comes into the crowd of where Jesus is teaching, and word comes to Jesus, your family wants to see you. And Jesus says to them, who are my family? Who is my mother? Who is my brothers and sisters? Is it not those that do the will of my Father? You see, it is Jesus' physical family members that are standing outside the inner circle of his true family, those that do the will of the Father. Even Jesus' own family opposed his claims. And they, in Mark chapter 3 and verse 21, gives us another detail that when they came to Jesus, they tried to grab him out of the crowds because they said he's out of his mind making these claims to be the King. You know, family can be a great blessing from God, but Jesus shows us in these verses that the family of those that truly bow their lives before the King, those are the family members that are the true family that must take priority in our lives. The central teaching of Jesus, though, comes to these verses. In verses 28 through 29, let's read it. He says, come to me, all who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now notice that these verses fall right in the middle of these two chapters, chapter 11 and 12, where all these stories are told of these different individuals that are opposing Jesus as King. The theme of these two chapters is the opposition to Jesus. And amid all of that opposition, seemingly out of the blue and out of context, Jesus drops this teaching about weariness and where you can truly find rest for your soul is by coming to Him. I suppose people have always been resistant to authority figures. But it seems, at least in the last several decades in our culture, there has been an increased resistance to authority figures. But Jesus shows here that he is not like most authority figures. You see, most kings and politicians and people in great positions of authority have historically been somewhat oppressive by their influence, which is why we resist them. But Jesus is a king who did not come to oppress. He is a king who came to give true rest. And that's the difference about King Jesus. Now, why is rest so important to Jesus in these verses? I'm convinced it is because the greatest opposition to the king's rule in your life, the thing that truly opposes the king, is a life that is completely filled to the brim and weary and exhausted with so many other things. When your life, when my life is overcommitted, overfilled, and hurried, there is no room left for the king to reign. Jesus invites you and me to join our lives with his life. That's the idea of the yoke, that Jesus has this yoke, and he invites us to come alongside and take his yoke upon us. He invites us to join our lives with his life so that he can help us to carry the loads of life. Jesus provides the ultimate Sabbath rest in a relationship with him. A rest that is designed not to burden us with a religious regulation, but to enliven us, to enrich us, to renew us, and to heal us. That's the point Jesus makes when those Pharisees oppose him for what they perceive to be a violation of the Sabbath day. Jesus clarifies in chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, that this is the true purpose of the Sabbath. It's not to burden you with regulations and rule keeping, but to enliven you, to refresh your soul, to provide healing and renewal. Jesus doesn't want to break us when we feel bruised by life. Jesus doesn't want to take us when our life feels like a flickering flame and snuff it out. He will not do that. Instead, he'll give justice, he'll bring victory, and he'll bring hope. That's verses 15 to 21 of chapter 12. Jesus came not to dominate our lives, to consume our lives in a way that is oppressive and burdensome and overwhelming. But Jesus came to cast out those kinds of demons that consume us and to fill our lives with good and wholesome things. That's verses 22 to 45 of chapter 12. Jesus came to welcome you and I into the restful repose of his own true family, those that do the will of the Father, verses 46 through 50 of chapter 12. You see, if you and I, if we insist on overfilling our lives, overscheduling our lives, overcommitting our lives, burning the candle at both ends of our lives, then we're living in a divided kingdom. And Jesus says here in chapter number 11 that a divided kingdom cannot stand. You'll never find the rest you're desperately looking for if you try to be your own king over your own kingdom of your own life instead of bowing before King Jesus. It is only the unhurried soul that can clear the throne of the heart for King Jesus to rule. I'm convinced that's what Jesus is getting at here when he says, are you weary with life? Are you burdened with life? It's because you've been trying to rule your life and you can't carry the weight. You can't carry the burden, so come to me. You who are wearied, you who are hurried, come and find true rest. Let me take some of that burden off of you. Come find rest for your soul. You who are heavy laden and heavy of heart, come and let go of those fetters. Let go of those burdens. Cast them on me. And come and find your true purpose and true peace. There's a song we sometimes sing that was written in the 1870s called "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind." A Quaker poet by the name of John Whittier wrote that hymn. You may recall there's one verse of the song that says something that's pretty high language, but it has such a deep and rich meaning. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Recently, I was reading a book that came at just the right time in my life, when my soul felt hurried and overwhelmed and stressed and strained. And someone recommended the book to me, Soul Keeping by John Ortberg. And in that book, John Ortberg tells the story as a minister, how he had gotten to a point where he was completely burned out in his life. And he sought the counsel and advice of a sage and wise older Christian man who was known far and wide for his deep spiritual insight. And he came to this man and he said, I feel like my life is just in tatters. I feel like that I'm not being successful in the ways God wants me to be. I feel like the church that I minister for is not being what it ought to be. And I feel like, frankly, I'm not being the man of God I ought to be. And I just feel overwhelmed and stressed out, and I don't know what to do. And how can I change the course? How can I spiritually grow as a person? And how can I facilitate spiritual growth in the church? And after a long pause, this sage, older, wise Christian man said, there's one thing more than everything else that you need to do if you want to spiritually grow in your life. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. He said, do whatever it takes to eliminate your hurried spirit. Because a hurried spirit has no room for the rule of the King. Jesus said, come to me if you're weary and burdened, and come and find rest. History is filled with kings and religious leaders who have burdened and oppressed people. But not so with King Jesus. Jesus is the true King that deep down our souls have longed for, that we have hoped for. Jesus is a King who releases us from the arbitrary religious demands of man. He frees us from the oppressive burdens of life, where we've tried in every way to try to find purpose and meaning through our franticness and busy lives, running from here and there, trying to fill our lives with something that can bring us true purpose and meaning. Jesus says, release that. Release those heavy burdens. Stop trying to be God over your life. Stop trying to be king of your own kingdom. Come to me and take on my easy yoke. Come walk with me, Jesus says. And find a life that is lived freely and lightly, filled with confident joy and purpose. Jesus came to provide rest for our souls, not just in the hereafter, but in the right now. Release your need for control and give your heart fully to Jesus and discover the rest that your weary soul has been aching to find. Jesus says, "Come to me." Do you need to come to Him today? Maybe it's time for you to fully and finally release all of that stress and strain and expectation of trying to be your own Savior and just give your life and fall into the arms of Him as your Savior. Maybe that's what you need to do today. We'd love to help you to surrender your life to Jesus in repentance and baptism. Or maybe today you've been convicted by the Holy Spirit from this message from the life of Jesus. And maybe starting today, before you get to the New Year's resolution, maybe starting today, now is the time to say, you know what, I really need to say no to some things and make some room in my life and reschedule my life and reprioritize my life. Maybe there are some good things in my life that are not bad, they're not evil, but Satan is using those good things to fill my life to the brim so there's no room for Jesus and for His kingdom. I would say to you, it may be time to release some of those things, let go of some of those things, and make room in your heart to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then God promises to take care of the rest. Are you weary? Are you burdened? Come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.